Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Buzz to Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
What the hell?
I can't count down from five. Today is when the number of the counting shall be four.
Sure, whatever. And today we are going to be talking about Ted Lasso, Season 3, Episode 10, International Break.
Which doesn't sound like a great episode, but turns out it was pretty darn good.
You know how in the last episode of the podcast, I was like, please, God, let this next episode be good.
Because, you know,
please reward us.
Desperately needed it for it to be good.
So, this is what we get.
This is what we got. So, we're excited. There's definitely going to be cursing in this episode. There will be spoilers for the episode. If you haven't seen it, there will also be...
predictions,
because we're getting right up on the end of season 3 of Ted Lasso, which is, I guess, the closing out of the show. So we've got to give some predictions about that. And we are having things to drink. What are you having to drink now?
I know I've had this on the podcast before. It might have been for like Bridgerton season 2 or something like that. But I'm having a mango tango slash kiss on the lips. The kiss on the lips is for reasons in the episode, but it's basically a mango margarita mix. It's non-alcoholic mango margarita mix and grenadine, and you pulse it in a blender with ice. Not just on its own, with ice, and it's kind of a slush kind of thing. So, and I love it, so it's great. What are you having?
I'm kind of three-fisting, but the exciting drink that is going to show up on Facebook is a Rossini cocktail, which y'all have probably heard me talk about before. And, you know, it is really tasty. It's got strawberry puree and
Prosecco.
I mean, I use the strawberry daiquiri mix because it's already got some sugar in it and I don't need to mix it with anything necessarily. But it is pretty, it's fluffy, it's festive. And I felt like this is appropriate for this episode.
Sure.
All right.
Let's get into it.
Yeah. We start with the pundits.
Yep. And they're praising Richmond and Sam and talking about how Sam should definitely play for the Nigerian team. And the international break is coming up, which is basically when all of the players get to go home to their home countries and play for their national teams if chosen.
Right. And they're expecting, obviously, that Sam's going to play for Nigeria. It turns out,
Well, before we get to that part, there's also another story, but the more breaking news is that Nate is no longer the manager at West Ham, and the awful coach guy is basically like, oh, well, Rupert is the real brains behind the operation.
Awful coach guy who was a pundit.
Yeah, and he was just like, well, Nate was a kit boy or whatever.
When I was there,
and I'm just like, well, has Rupert asked you to go and like be your manager for West Ham? No, he hasn't. So clearly you...
If you were that great, you know, it'd be a little bit different. But obviously that is a big deal. We cut to the locker room, and Beard comes out and is mentioning a bunch of the players who are going to be playing for their team.
I wrote down the players who were going.
I did too.
Okay.
Jamie Tart
is going to play for England. Van Damme is playing for Canada. The Canada team is playing against Mexico, which Danny is going to be a part of. And Bumber Cash, he's Swiss. Of course I'm Swiss. And Ted's like, yeah, okay. And Colin is playing for Wales, but Sam is not playing for Nigeria.
Right. So Danny, like, it's like he has this complete change. And Van Damme's like, oh, you know, it's so great that we're going to be playing for our team's brother, blah, blah, blah. I am not your brother.
No, we are now enemies, and soon you will be my bitch.
It's kind of like, that was like switching the lights off. It's okay.
Funny. But also, Jamie goes to Sam and says that Sam was screwed over, and he's really sorry that he's not playing for Nigeria, which is good. Right. Like, it's good development. And then we see Rebecca, who's talking to Ted, and they're trying to do girl talk, but failing.
It's hilarious because the girl talk is like, well, it's kind of like a once a month thing, except when you're pregnant, and they're talking about wine delivery.
A monthly wine service.
Okay.
And
they have this talk about it, and Ted's like, oh, I'm not good at gossip. She's like, it's not gossip, it's speculation.
And Trent Krim's there.
Right.
And he's good at girl talk.
Right. And obviously, you know, the king of all of it is Higgins, and Higgins then comes in. But they're all wondering, what happened with Nate? That mm-hmm. seems to be the big question. And Higgins comes in with news that there's a rumor of inappropriate workplace activity. I'm like, Nate?
And then they're like, nah, that wasn't Nate's fault. But then they bring, Higgins brings up that Edwin Nkufu is
from Nigeria
in town and trying to create a super league, basically put together the wealthiest clubs to compete, which would kind of take away all of the funding and attention away from like the more local clubs that aren't as wealthy and can't be a part of it, and kind of take that kind of thing away from it would kind of ruin everything, all
right,
of the leagues.
Right. They're saying it'd be all Goliaths and no Davids, basically. Mm-hmm. And so Rebecca's kind of like, I think Rupert's involved in this in some way.
And she's like, speak of the devil. And she gets a phone call from him, and he's in her contacts as the devil. I find that very funny. And then we see it's Nate's apartment or house or wherever. And Jade goes to his place and they talk about how Nate quit.
Yeah, which is interesting.
Yeah, which I'm surprised we didn't see, and questioning if it was a good idea or not. And Jade apparently is visiting her family in Poland for a few days, and she's like, do you want to come with me? And he's like, no, I'm good.
And she makes like this, what would be the punchline of a joke if people still did race-based jokes, which it would be
the light bulb joke.
You don't want to come in and help us screw in light bulbs? And he says, strangely not funny, or strangely funny, or something like Nate does. And Jade doesn't get that it's a joke. Mm-hmm. But you see that there are paparazzi outside Nate's house. And you know, obviously, this is
they're trying to get the
fresh news, right?
And then Keely goes to the office, but it's being cleared out. And she goes to the CFO.
Without her being told.
Well, she goes to the CFO, and the CFO is like, oh, I thought Jack would emailed you. Well, she emailed me last night. And apparently the company's board has pulled funding and is shutting down the company, and they need to leave the space by the end of the week.
Yeah, by Friday, and it's Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And Keely's like so stunned. She goes in her office, closes the blinds,
and she cries. Yeah, so I mean, sad. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, first of all, that is very quick turnaround.
And that's very Jack. I mean, she's one of those mercurial, bitchy people. So, which, you know, again, it's sad. So then we see that Danny and Van Damme are on the plane to wherever it is.
Well, they're both going to North America. So, I mean, it makes sense why they would be on the same plane, probably heading to New York and then going their separate ways, one to Canada, one to Mexico.
Right. And Van Damme offers Danny some chips. Danny had been up until then refusing to acknowledge Van Damme existed. Danny turns to him, grabs the bag of chips, crushes all of it.
And then pours
it on the floor. It's like, no, you're dead. You're dead to me.
And then we go to the coaches, who tell Sam, hey, be a goldfish. We're sorry that this happened. We don't understand why, but be a goldfish. You got this. It's fine.
Then there's this, and it is somewhat self-indulgent, but they do a riff with Beard. He's talking to Jane about going to Hatchet and Rye. It's an axe throwing place. And this is like where they're going to have a date. He's talking about bringing his throwing hatchet.
Well,
what the targets are going to be, and they're going to be Nate's dick.
Because it's basically it's a celebration of karma.
Yeah.
For Nate.
I found it interesting when Jane calls Beard her Twilight. She has a Twilight Zone ringtone, which was like, okay, the irony.
We find out that
Beard has 17 axes, all are for throwing.
And he brought all of them to England because he couldn't leave without his axes. And so then Rebecca and Sam talk in the hallway, and it's cute but awkward situation. Basically, she's like, I'm really sorry that you let this happen. And they kind of like, she touches him on the shoulder to be like comforting or whatever. Then she pulls away and is like, well, that was weird. And then he does the same to her, and it's like, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's cute. Like, they finally have some kind of interaction. Yeah. And it's better than just saying something stupid and walking away like Roy.
Although Roy, right before that, Beard was asking Roy if he could go to Hatchet and go along to Hatchet and Roy. He's like, I have a thing. And
we'll find out what that thing is in a minute. I'm so excited. And then Rupert shows up in Rebecca's office and invites her for a meeting for the Akufu League. And
he mentions
it's like an olive branch or whatever.
Right, but he mentions that he got snuck in by the security guard.
Yeah, that comes back later. By the old troll that lives.
The guy who lives underneath the pitch, and we had seen him. He let the pub guys in previously, so we've seen him.
And then we go over to Phoebe, and she's back, and she's with her mom. So we see Roy's sister for the first time,
and the celebration is
for Uncle Day, which they keep saying, "Well, you realize this isn't a real day, right? A real holiday, right?" And she's like, "No, this is one of Phoebe's favorite holidays: Uncle Day, Uncle Roy's birthday, and some random German one where people dress up as evil spirits to." Scare winter away.
Yeah, something like that.
I can't pronounce it, so I'm not going to try.
Right.
Then apparently, and they have like party hats on and everything. And then Phoebe apparently invited Jamie because she thought
they were best friends.
But they're both like, no, we're not best friends. Mine's Isaac. And he's like, oh, fuck off. No, it's not. And then Jamie got Roy a gift, and it's his original kit from the World Cup.
But from 2014.
From 2014. But he changed the E in Kent to a U. And Roy loves it.
Yeah.
And Phoebe, it's great.
Phoebe has also made Roy a gift. And it is a tie-dye t-shirt. And she's like, it spells out Uncle Roy in the colors. Red, orange, yellow. And he's like,
He has to force himself to be nice again.
Yeah, he's got to force himself to say thank you.
And Phoebe and her mom are going to do a performance with an intermission.
Which reminds me so much of her childhood.
Yeah, that was me.
Yeah, that was totally Natalie and her friends. We would have a show. Are we going to get a show today? Yes, we're getting a show.
Anyway.
Dinner and a show.
Jamie says that Roy's sister is fit, and Roy says he'll cut his eyes out. Honestly, like, I think that would be kind of cute. Like, if Jamie and his sister?
Yeah. I think that would be a cute.
Like Roy has mentioned in the past that like the guy that she was married to had a relationship with was a piece of shit and is sadly not dead.
Jamie has improved.
Jamie has improved.
So this would be a good thing.
Yeah. And then Sam goes to the restaurant and all of the reservations have bailed except for Edwin.
Edwin Okufor is there with his little entourage and he keeps referring to Sam as Pinky Dick. I mean, Sam.
And he is apparently mentioning, oh yeah, I'm opening a new West African restaurant 20 meters away. And we are going to, and they basically spend the most of the time just insulting Sam. And apparently Edwin, first of all, he made all of the reservations for that night using different voices, but also he paid the Nigerian government to keep Sam off the team for $20 million because he's trying to get back at him for not joining his team.
And he says, I will never stop. And all I can think is all these guys are dickheaded boys. They do all of like the handshake where they won't shake your hand, just like the stupid bullshit. We see then that Nate can't sleep. Mm-hmm. And so he sneaks out when the paparazzi aren't looking and he breaks into his parents' home.
Because he couldn't find the key because they moved it.
Right. And so he then gets to sleep in his childhood bed.
And is staying there to stay away from paparazzi.
Right.
And then we go to Rebecca, who tells Higgins that she doesn't want to be a part of the Akufu League. And Higgins is like, I think it's going to be a situation like the Wonka factory and all those children being murdered. And he says, and she's like, I don't think that's what happens, Higgins. And he's like, I'm sorry to tell you this, Rebecca, but those children are
all dead.
Yes. But he basically tells her, you don't care why he invited you, just go and see what's up.
Right. Keely, and we'd seen just briefly, we'd seen Keely in between. She had pressed the down button on the elevator, couldn't get on the elevator. She's just like catatonic almost. And then we see her at the pub after that, after that whole Rebecca sequence. And she is not answering her phone. She's at the pub. Jack texts her, it's complete BS, like, oh, I'm so sorry, you know, the time change,
you
know, that
you could email the CFO, but you couldn't email Keely.
Yes,
fuck you.
It's fucking bullshit.
But also, Rebecca sends her a text that says, I don't know if it's in this, I think it is in this scene. She sends her a text of like, hey, if you're alive, text me. And if not, text no.
Exactly. And so Keely's like, basically talks to May, who is the owner of the pub. And she's like, they talk about being the owner of a business. And she says, I've just got the Midas shits.
Mm-hmm.
And
everything I touch turns to shit.
And what May says is shit helps things grow.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, what? And Keely asked her for advice. She's like, well, when you get to the top of the mountain, what's left but lightning? And Keely's kind of like, is that good or bad?
Yeah, good question.
It is a good question.
But she's like, it depends
on if you're ready.
Yeah, if you're ready or not. And so basically, it's more just kind of like, all right, yeah, well, that it's been it was a good pep talk,
right?
And then hang on,
there's one scene before this where Nate's mom tucks him in.
Sure, whatever.
I know what you're going
for.
But Nate's mom tucks in because
he's catatonic.
Well, and he needs some mommy time, much like Keely needs some
surrogate
mommy time with May.
Yeah. And so then it cuts to the office, the Richmond office, and the Peaky Blinders theme comes on, the red right hand.
Yes.
And it's just Roy walking through the office. You just see his face at first, but everybody's like looking, you see the people's reactions, just like looking at him like in like confusion and a little bit of like, fear or laughing or whatever.
Yeah, they aren't quite sure how to take him.
They're just confused. And then it pans down a little bit and you see that he's wearing Phoebe's tie-dye shirt.
Yes.
And so it's like one of the first times I think anyone's seen him in color.
Yeah.
And so they're all confused or laughing and he just is like, no.
But in perfect sync with the music, he cuts his eyes at them and shuts them all up.
Yeah, and then he goes into the office, Ted and Beard see it and they're just kind of like looking and he's just like, morning or hey or something. And then he leaves the office and you see him go through that hallway. But then Trent comes in and it's just like, what the fuck? Yeah. What is that? And they're all just kind of like looking confused, like, okay, maybe this is a good thing. I don't know. But then we go back again. Nate is still in his room. Keely stays at the pub. It's basically kind of a little mini montage.
Right.
And then Danny. Okay. So the team is watching the TV in the, I guess it's
the media room.
Media room. Yeah. And they are watching the international games and it's Canada versus Mexico. Danny has the ball. Van Damme is in the goal and he's trying to
prevent Danny from scoring.
And Danny hits the ball and the ball goes right into his nose and breaks his nose.
Yeah. And you can see like he's like flattened completely. And Danny's kind of like, right.
Yeah.
Being like tough guy.
Yeah.
We then see Rebecca going through her purse and she pulls out the green matchbox with the green Iron Man that she had gotten from Ted in the first season. And we see that Rupert texts her about the league.
And if she's coming or not.
And if she's coming or not. And she doesn't respond, but
she does.
Does she?
Yeah, she says, I'll be there.
Okay. In the montage, we also see Roy walking out and he sees I think it's the bus driver, the hippie dude,
mm-hmm.
and he's also got a tie-dye shirt on and he says something to Roy just like pulls his shirt off and throws it on the ground to get in his car and then he realizes he drives away and then
he reverses. I thought he was gonna like run over it, but yeah, he doesn't, and he just grabs the shirt and just keeps and then just continues on.
Right.
And then Rebecca looks is getting ready for the meeting with the Kufu League. She looks in the mirror. She sees her younger self, which she mentioned in the second season on how she hypes herself up. But when she's in a room full of like men,
she makes herself big and scary.
Yeah, she has to make herself. She sees herself as a schoolgirl with pigtails, but she like makes herself feel big and strong and powerful and scary. And
it makes her smile. And it is a really cute sequence. In there also is Keely. She's doing like apparently retail therapy and we don't exactly know why at first, but we'll find out later.
And then Roy takes Phoebe to school in the shirt and he runs into the teacher from last season and the teacher admits, yeah, I was flirting with you, but she didn't mind having to clean up the mess or whatever. Like,
well, she refers to him as a mess and he seems stuck.
Yeah.
And she hopes
it didn't cause too much
damage. Cause much damage. Apparently she's still trying to flirt with him.
Yeah. And Roy has a realization and then he's like, fudge.
And she says to herself, smooth move, fuckwitch.
She's like cleaning up a mess, smooth move, fuckwitch, like, which is the name that the kids gave her. Mm-hmm. And then we go back to Keely, and Keely, it's the last day, I think it's probably Friday. They are, and she's like, the CFO's there packing up the rest of her stuff. And Keely comes in and gives CFO the snow globe of Richmond as a thank you for the help of the company. And she was like, well, I need to buy the snow globe myself or it doesn't count. And so Keely's like, all right, how much cash do you have on you? Yeah. And so they exchange it. And then Keely says goodbye to the office. She unplugs the neon. And then that's basically that for that Keely scene.
Right. And then we've got Rebecca showing up at the club where this meeting is being held. And there's just a bunch of old men mingling. You see that Rupert's there and Rupert's got a new assistant. And she asked about
the other one that was apparently like dramatic or whatever.
No, the other one left and it was kind of dramatic. And we know why, because he was screwing her. Mm-hmm. That is the inappropriate workplace stuff, obviously.
Yeah, among other things.
Among other things. So they all go into the meeting room.
Oh, well, his new assistant comes up and is just like, oh, I heard from your fecalist.
Yeah.
Everything, two thumbs up. Everything's fine right in front of Rebecca.
Yeah, and she's kind of like, okay. And so they go into the meeting room. Edwin Okufu is there and they're getting served, and there are these women in like little French maid outfits, like tiny skirts, and it's very misogynistic, basically this whole setup. And Rebecca's sitting there like, you don't bring women to the table much.
No. And he also, well, he goes up to her and it's just like, how does it feel to be the other minority in the room or whatever? And
it's kind of like, yeah, fuck you,
whatever. But also he brings in West African food, like I think it's Ghana, from Ghana, maybe?
I think so. And then, yeah.
And also Chicago style hot dogs, because that's his favorite food. He mentions it at the restaurant with Sam.
Right.
But anyway, then we go over to Nate, who's looking at some old like photo albums and stuff.
In his parents' house.
And then he goes into the attic, finds it. I thought it was going to be like a Christmas vacation kind of deal where he like has a projector in the attic and then like falls all over the place. No. But now he finds his violin in the attic. And then we see Roy getting something from a shop.
We're montaging, but we go back to the meeting and one of the owners
is Russian.
Is Russian, and he's basically like, you need to leave.
It's not a good look right
now. A good look right now. There's this, Okufu's like, wow, the future of football is, you know, this big conglomerate thing, the big league, and the future is now.
It'll get us so much money.
During this meeting, Keely is texting Rebecca.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, they were all little boys once. And you see Rebecca looking around and seeing all of them as little boys. And she sees how childish their behavior is.
And Nate is playing the violin.
The actor can actually play.
Which is impressive.
It is impressive.
Then Rebecca, there's a moment where like Rupert looks at Rebecca and is just like, what do you think about this, Rebecca? Like when they're looking at the numbers for like how much they're going to make. Mm-hmm. Rebecca's like, is this a fucking joke? And she basically says, you can't take something away from people that means so much to them, because that's what they would be doing if they made this league. It would take away all of the challenge, all of the fun, all of the camaraderie out of this game that so many people like devote so much of their time to.
Right. And one of the things that I noticed with this is she gives that straight up Queen Elizabeth dressing gown from Nanny thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, that's what I was thinking
the entire time. And it's really well done the way she does it. And she uses Rupert's experience sneaking into Richmond, and that comes a little bit later.
Yeah, so, but this is a montage kind of thing with her speech over it. And we see the team is watching the match, the England match, and Jamie goes onto the field and is wearing number 24 in honor of Sam, which is so cute. And Roy is trying to write something, but is failing, like he's trying to write a letter. And then Rebecca tells the story about how Rupert, when he was younger, was trying to sneak into a Richmond. He would sneak into Richmond matches because he loved it so much, and got caught, and like he got the shit beat out of him
by the security guard,
he kicked him in the balls and then ran away. And then like 25-ish years later, he like now owns the club and gave that guy a raise.
Right. The first thing he did on his first day was come in and give him a raise.
I mean, he did do his job. So yeah.
Right.
And she says, just because we own these teams doesn't mean they belong to us, which is very similar to what Ted said a little while ago, like in a couple of episodes ago, like these are their teams. We're just borrowing them for a while. It's very similar vibe.
Right.
She says she doesn't want to be a part of something that to destroy the game. There is an off-screen food fight because Edwin, because they all back out because they realize they're being stupid.
Right.
And Edwin throws food everywhere and they leave and they're just like covered in food.
Right.
And that, in all caps, there's this whole thing about Rupert like being nice to Rebecca and being encouraging and like him hearing the story from her perspective. And it's a nice moment.
It's humanizing.
And I wrote in all caps, I don't want to like Rupert.
Right. And you see after in this post food fight thing, Rebecca and Rupert are the only people laughing. Everybody else is kind of like, oh my God, he threw food at us.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that they have similar senses of humor, a little like Michelle and Ted did in an earlier episode as well.
But just because they have that does not mean they're right for each other.
Right.
And I think that's important to understand. Right.
But we will get to that in just a second because we cut to Nate. And again, as I mentioned, Nate is actually playing the violin, but he's surprised by his father.
It's so funny. Like he's turned around with like his violin playing and then he slowly turns around and sees his dad in the doorway watching him play. And he's just like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Exactly. But the dad apologizes because he didn't know how to parent a genius.
And for his high expectations.
Right. Well, he didn't know that Nate didn't want to be best at everything. He thought that, you know, because you're capable of being best
and have all these opportunities that I didn't have,
then you should take advantage of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells him, look, I want my son to be happy, not successful.
Yeah.
Whatever happy is for you.
Yeah.
And you can tell that Nate's like, oh.
Okay, well, why didn't we have this like 20 years ago?
Yeah,
but sure. But then Rupert, we go back to the meeting and people are like clearing out and there's one guy left who like mentioned to Rebecca earlier, like he was hitting on Rebecca. And he was just like, it's only Rupert, Rebecca, and that guy left. And he's just like, oh, yeah, well, the last time I saw you two in a room together, it was after your wedding, and you guys really wanted me to leave. And they're just like, okay. And then he leaves, and Rupert is like, oh, yeah, well, whatever.
He basically goes to kiss Rebecca, and Rebecca's like, nope.
No, immediately push away.
No.
And thank God. Right. And Roy goes to Keely's house to deliver the letter, but she sneaks up on him and he goes, Jesus fucking Christ, like Nate.
Yeah,
exactly. And then he basically tries to ask her why she's there in the middle of the day, but she dodges the question. And then he's like,
I'm just delivering a letter.
And he's like, yeah, here's the letter. And she's like, okay. And then I'll read it right now. And he's like, you don't have to do that in front of me.
And she's like, I still can't read your writing. And you can see that what he's written on there is super short.
Yeah, it's super short. It wasn't legible even when we saw like the glimpse of it, like him writing it while the team was watching the game. But, The letter basically says that she didn't mess up and he pulled away because he was stuck in his own shit, and that if he made her feel less than Keely fucking Jones, then he's sorry and he loves her. Sincerely yours, Roy Kent, XOXO. You're the only Roy Kent I know. I didn't want to assume.
and she does say thank you. And then we see Nate playing cards with his parents and he's beating his parents at cards.
Mm-hmm.
But
they're playing in harmony, which is nice.
Yeah. And then we see Rebecca show up at Keely's house because she's thought that Keely is dead.
Yeah, no, she has the stain still from the food fight. And when Keely opens the door, she's like, oh my God, you got shot.
Right. And so, Keely hugs Rebecca and, they catch up on what has been going on with both of them.
Rebecca asks how much money they were putting in for her Keely's company. Rebecca basically offers to fund her and she's so thankful. And then Rebecca tells her about Rupert trying to kiss her and Keely's like, oh, it would be so crazy if you would have gotten back with Rupert. Meanwhile, in the background, Roy comes downstairs shirtless and has her robe and her pink robe. And like ties it, and then Keely's facing away. Hi. Rebecca sees him, and they kind of like are like, "Hi."
Yeah. But the thing about Rupert too is what Rebecca says is she's like, "I knew right then that he didn't. I didn't want to beat him anymore. I wasn't interested."
Yeah.
And it was really good. So we also see Nate coming out of the security entrance at Richmond's Field.
Well, we say that after this moment, Will goes to work and sees that his tasks are already done. And there's a note that says, "I'm sorry," from the Wonder Kid. And he doesn't even try to do Wonderkind. It's just Wonder Kid. And it's a sprig of lavender, which is what Will got in trouble for.
Yeah, Nate yelled at him for lavender.
And yeah, he got in the same way that Rupert did with the guy in the basement.
Right. So Keely, we see Keely is reopening. And the CFO comes back in and wants a job and hands her back the snow globe and says, "Hey, this is only when I leave. So you're going to have to take it back."
Mm-hmm.
And then we go into the locker room. Danny is very sympathetic with Phantom. "Oh, how's your nose?" You know, yeah. She was like, "What the hell?"
And then Sam puts a photo of the Nigerian national team in his locker to remind him of what he's fighting for, and no matter what the cost. And then Roy comes in with a darker tie-dye, and everybody haws at each other.
Grunt.
Rebecca puts the, okay, so it's mentioned earlier when Rupert's in her office that there was a Hockney picture up that, the artist Hockney, there was a picture that he drew or whatever in her office that Rupert gave her, and she had taken it down. But in this scene, she's putting it back up as a reminder that it doesn't even matter if it's his. I was just doing that despite him. I don't need to do that anymore.
Yeah, it's funny because Ted comes in, and of course, I feel this way about certain artists. Modern paintings. And he comes in, and he's like, "Oh, that's a great drawing by a kid."
Well, no, he's like, "Did you draw that, Rebecca?" And then she's like, "No, it's a Hockney." And it's like, "That's a very talented child."
Yeah, exactly. It's very
funny. And Rebecca says that she doesn't care if she beats Rupert, but wants to win for the team. And she spits in Roy's face when he's like, "Yeah, let's win." Just like the season one finale. In Ted's face, yes. Yeah. And it's like the season one finale. It's just like, I think it's a little bit traditional at this point. Yep. To spit in each other's face.
Yep.
And I think he says like something like tree water or something.
Yeah, because she had just taken a big gulp of tea and it was in her mouth. That's what she spit on him. He's like, he says, "Well, it's like tree piss."
Yeah.
So appropriate. Mm-hmm. And that's the end of the episode. So what were your best parts?
I have a lot. Okay. Nate quitting, Rebecca and Sam talking for once, Phoebe being back, Roy and Jamie. I really love that little the party scene is really fun. Rebecca's speech to the other owners, Nate's dad stuff, Rebecca stopping Rupert from kissing her, Roy and Keely getting back together, close enough. Those are my best parts.
All right. I didn't write down as many as you did, but I think all of those are good
points. You usually do broad strokes anyway.
Well, my biggest things were Rebecca doing the dressing gown. I really loved that. I really loved Roy and Keely getting back together. I think that's great. And again, these are things that all move things forward. And of course, Nate quitting moves things forward too, because we all kind of know where that's going. But I loved that he was true to himself and he quit, and that
he apologized.
He apologized, and his dad supported him, which mm-hmm. is great. So yeah. What were your worst parts?
Basically just glossing over Nate's arc. I think the fact that it just, when I heard like the very beginning of this episode, it's like, "Oh yeah, well, he's no longer the manager there." I'm just like, "What?" We've had so much bullshit over at West Ham, all the random little side plots with Nate and Rupert and like him being sucked in but then not, and then him being sucked in but not, but we missed the biggest part of that arc, which is him ending it with Rupert. It kind of felt cheap to me. I don't know, it just felt like we rushed through it a little bit, even though we've been spending so much time there for no reason. Like, you could have sped that up so much more, like him talking to Jade about it and him being like, "I'm not going to deal with this anymore." Like, the last we saw of Nate before this episode was him going to Jade's place after Rupert tried to get him to cheat on her and to be like more like him. That was basically it. Like, we saw that it was a corrupting influence, but we didn't see a confrontation, and we don't really need like a confrontation, but at least like a confrontation of feelings, right? About like, "Listen, I don't want to be like that. And if you want me to be like that as your manager, I'm not going to do that." At least something like that.
Or just a letter. Just
literally anything. Like, I felt like if you like,
but instead we focus on the personal, and it is, I think
this would have been a fine episode, like part of the episode, if last episode it was clear that he resigned.
Yeah.
And obviously that's the whole thing of like, oh, why are they parting ways? Did he resign? Did he get fired? I don't know. But still, I think that you needed to see that confrontation so that you had a more complete arc, and then he deals with the consequences in this episode. I think this is a good arc for him, but I think right. that I mean, we should have seen
a letter. Like, you know, he sits down and
I just think that we should have seen the confrontation, in, at least in the last episode, to give it time to like breathe. Also, spending so much on his bunk, I think that at least one or two of those, like the photo scene, like the photo album scene, didn't really seem necessary to me. Him getting the violin, sure, it led to that nice scene, but we didn't need to see as much of it. Also, random stuff happening out of nowhere. I think that it's funny. It's another thing of like the timing of everything. Like with Nate's arc, it's like, yeah, no, he gets together with Jade, has a little bit of like a fun time with Jade. Then there's that weird thing with Rupert last episode, and then this episode he's just magically not with Rupert anymore, and we don't get to see like the confrontation there. We also, it's weird that with Keely, if they were going to go for like Jack being a petty little bitch like she is and being like, yeah, no, you're not going to get your company anymore because we had a falling out, I think they should have done that like before, like as soon as she like last episode or something. Or anything. Like, it needs more time to breathe. Like, a lot of stuff happened in this episode. That's great. It pushed a lot of stuff forward, but it kind of came out of nowhere in a way. And also, I don't want to like Rupert. And also, I don't like Edwin. So, I mean, the actor's great. Like, he's been in a lot of stuff that we like. Like, he was in that, like, After Party episode, that, mm-hmm. that series on Apple TV Plus as mm-hmm. well. He's a really funny actor. I think he's really good. But his bits go on for way too long. Like, there's that one, there's one bit, okay, there are two bits I'm talking about. One was in, basically that entire, them at the restaurant scene was very long. It felt very long. With a lot of bits from him, but also the scene at the meeting where he's just like, oh, it's a push door or pull door or whatever. It goes on for a little bit too long.
I think that there's a lot of that in this episode. So my worst part, and I assume you're done, is that correct? Mm-hmm. My worst part is, of course, I put Edwin because as a character, I think he is a terrible person. But, and of course, you know, I think Rupert is a child, and that's why he hit on Rebecca again, because, oh, I've lost my other girl toy. I need a new one. And hey, Rebecca's here.
Sorry to interrupt, but it would be one thing if he was like, if there was a conversation with Nate about, I don't want to be like you. I don't want to like womanize. I don't want to whatever. And then he was like, maybe I want to change for the better, or like maybe just see if I can change my ways. And then this sends him over the edge or something, anything.
Well, my biggest problem with this episode is a problem that I've seen in a number of the episodes this season, poor editing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I think that, again, this is a workplace comedy. And this whole season, there's not been a lot of workplace. There has been a lot of personal. And I just feel like while it allows them to indulge, and it just feels self-indulgent to me. It feels like I want to indulge, you know, this actor who I think is really good, Edwin Khufu. Let's just let him, you know, riff for a while, but not edit it. And I feel like that is a mistake. And I think that, you know, what you end up with is these 8,000 fucking montages,
mm-hmm.
which, again, you know, I'm not a fan of montages generally. I mean, if it was a montage moving the plot forward, and sometimes, you know, the narrative montages work and sometimes they don't.
There are some things you just don't need to see, like Roy getting the notebook to write a letter. You don't need to see that. You don't need to see Keely getting the snow globe, because you don't see that it's a snow globe. You see that in the next scene. You don't need to see that. And we don't need that extra montage.
No, we don't. But they wanted something to show, I guess, while Rebecca's talking. But it doesn't. Those two things aren't connected. What Rebecca's talking about has nothing to do with Keely buying a snow globe for her CFO. It has nothing to do with Roy writing a note to Keely. It has nothing to do with any of that. What she's talking about is
a love
football, right? A love football. For football, and you know, that those things are not connected. And then we have, you know, the wonder kid playing the violin. He's great. He's actually quite good. But here's the thing: you have, because you want to use that talent, you have a montage of stuff that's completely unconnected to it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that is where they're just losing the ball. There were things I absolutely loved about this episode, obviously, but, and I said this at the end of the episode, we could have cut out most of this season and gotten to the same point.
Absolutely.
And Edwin Akufo completely, we didn't need him at all. We could have done this without him.
Right.
So I feel like there's a lot of bloat, self-indulgence, wasted time. And it's, as much as I enjoyed this, you know, it's kind of sad to me that it's gotten to this point. But what grade did you give this?
I was debating between an A minus and an A. I think it's an A minus, all things considered, because I don't think it was as well paced as like the Amsterdam one. I think that the Amsterdam one did a good job of spreading things out pretty evenly without having too much bloating. Whereas in this, a lot of shit happened that I wanted to happen, but it just was so weirdly paced and weirdly done that, like, again, with the Roy and Keeley thing, like I've mentioned in the predictions going up to this, it's hard to have them just get back together just out of nowhere because of the only conversation being that, like, this season, the only real conversation they had one-on-one was it ended not really well. And that was recently. Yes. So I don't know what, again, they fast tracked it, which again, I'm happy that they're together ish and close enough, but I mean, it just, you know what I mean? It just,
I do.
It's not something that is savored or it.
Well, and I think that's part of it is they've spent a lot of time and as viewers, we are very vested in Roy and Keeley. And so you would have liked to have seen some more of them, you know, their interaction, like whatever conflict there was, whatever getting back together there was, you want to see more of that, but you don't. I mean, instead you see a lot of Nate playing the violin and hanging out with his parents, which, you know, I understand that, you know, his relationship with his dad was a big reason why he was a dickhead. Okay, fine. And that Rupert clearly was not a good replacement for his dad. Got it. I could have gotten that a lot faster without spending. I mean, this was an over an hour long episode.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this too, is, you know, originally these episodes were about 30 minutes. They were bite-sized. They were fast and funny. And
our episodes were shorter as well.
True. So I gave this episode an A minus.
Yeah, okay, an A minus.
There are things I really, really like. Again, I feel like I'm saying all bad stuff. There were some really funny things. There was a lot of plot movement in this episode, but really, this episode, the Amsterdam episode, which I also felt was bloated, it wasn't awful. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff in there, but there was stuff in there I didn't really care about, and I'm sorry, like. And I know it's probably frustrating. I didn't need to hear about Colin and Trent and their sexuality. I don't care. I don't. And I don't mean that I don't care about people's sexuality generally. I'm actually, it's in my opinion, none of my business.
Right.
And I feel like it's none of my business, even if it's on a show. So, you know, it's kind of like, I understand that they want to do the work through or the workaround or the whatever, but we've spent a lot of time on Colin's relationship to the team, that kind of thing in this season. And it just,
again, if it was more evenly spread out with everybody and they were,
or not. Cause I feel like we've actually gotten into characters that I don't care about. You know, we don't spend time on characters that I do care about.
Well, there are other,
but we don't spend time on characters that I.
Well, obviously we have our favorites and all that stuff, but other people, I'm sure there are other people who got a lot out of the Colin storyline or whatever. I think the Colin storyline, it's fine that it happened. It was not really well paced at all. Like, it was just kind of out of the blue. And I will say this, I had no idea it was supposed to be a secret. And so it was fine to explore that, but again, weirdly paced. If like there would be episodes like in between that, and then you'd like go back to the storyline and be like, oh, okay, yeah, I guess we're going back to this. And that was true for a lot of them. And they were, remember Shandy? That was this season. And I mean, Jack was this season.
Didn't we need any of that shit?
We did And, and I think another thing, again, we've touched on this before, that we prefer when the gang is all together. When, mm-hmm. like, Keely was working at the Richmond office and they were doing all that stuff. When Ted's entire personality was not that he's divorced. When everybody was just kind of like, whatever. Again, the fact that it's just, and Nate, I didn't need to see as much of Nate this season. And especially when
I didn't see.
Exactly. That's the problem. We saw all the other bullshit, but we didn't see the actual confrontation.
Well, the only really good things I saw with Nate were there were a couple interactions. I wouldn't even include that. There were a couple of interactions with Rupert that were very short, that were kind of telling. There was the fake diamond dogs, mm-hmm. which you need to have a jade for that, but we spent way too much time on jade, in my opinion.
I think so too.
And we didn't see any of the workplace things. So it's like, I feel like, again, self-indulgent. I think
very
it's just,
aimless.
Yeah. 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 And it disappoints me. But again, I still enjoyed this episode. Sure. Just like I enjoyed the Instagram episode. I felt like it was at least like, and the difference, of course, between this episode had plot points I really liked. The Amsterdam episode had some of that, but what it also had was like montages that sort of made sense.
Montages, payoffs that we wanted to see, like Rebecca being happy for a little while with that one guy.
Well, I mean, I'm kind of thinking of like the Van Gogh.
Oh, no, yeah. I was going to mention, Ted figuring out a way to help the team. Mm-hmm. And I love that the team is like working again and that they're like doing. Oh, yeah. Zaba was this season. Like,
oh, my God. That was
everything
so random.
Just seems so random.
Yeah. Random.
And again, like, usually there's an overarching thing, but I have not really seen one.
No.
And originally I was thinking, oh, it's going to be their rivalry with West Ham. It's going to be them working their way up into the ranks of the higher league. But that's been pretty glossed over, except for in a couple episodes. And I guess they're going to have to play West Ham in the finale or something. And Nate's going to be on their side and it's going to be, oh, speaking of, let's go into predictions.
Yep, I was thinking that.
Do you have any predictions?
I do. They're probably the same predictions I had at the beginning of the season, which is a little disappointing. We are 11 episodes in, and I haven't seen like a twist.
We're 10 episodes in.
All right. I haven't seen a twist or anything exciting, and I'm kind of like, okay, I knew where this was going, that Nate's going to come back, that Ted's going to leave, that... when Nate comes back, they're going to beat West Ham, and that Keely and Roy get back together, and probably Rebecca and Sam are going to get back together, and ta-da.
But here's the thing. But the psychic thing is still up in the air.
It's all just stupid.
Like, there are things in the psychic thing that have not come true yet, and they've made it clear that they want that to be a running thing. But they mentioned that in episode two.
Here's an outside idea. What if Ted and Rebecca get together?
Honestly, I wouldn't mind it. I think that, I don't know. I think that, it's complicated because it, like, when, for example, when they were doing the whole like dating app thing in the last season, and there was that one cut when Rebecca was texting the mystery guy before mm-hmm. we found out it was Sam, mm-hmm. and then the shot went over to Ted on his phone. And then it made you think for like 2 seconds, maybe it's Ted on the other line. Mm-hmm. I was conflicted because I think that Ted and Rebecca have a fun rapport. They like have, I think they get along very, very well. I don't know if they'd work as a couple, but I mean, I'm honestly open to it. I just want things to move forward somehow.
Please.
But I don't know. I think that they set up the psychic thing a little too early for me, because if it's not going to have immediate payoff in some respects, or at least a reminder for a couple of episodes, like, oh yeah, remember the psychic said this or whatever. Because I've almost completely forgotten like what the psychic said, other than like there's
a new rain. I don't give a fuck about the psychic really, but I mean, there's Green Matchbook, which is Sam, Green Army Man, which is Ted. They are her family, I guess. We could make that argument. We could also try to see if
Shite Manning Armor.
Right, but we could try to see if Rebecca fits into the sense and sensibility construct.
Well, that's another thing. It's like,
I don't see that she does, honestly.
If anything, she'd be Eleanor, but I don't...
Yeah, I think Nate's more of the Eleanor here.
Whatever. I just... They brought up a lot of things that could be used as motifs, like sense and sensibility, like the, or like just reoccurring things that are like called back to, like the psychic, like sense and sensibility. Again, why sense and sensibility? Why bring it up in the first place? They haven't made it clear that, like, hey, Keely loves Jane Austen or books in general. Definitely. I don't think... Again, if they wanted to do something like that, again, they probably should have capitalized on the fact that, oh yeah, this is that. But again, it was so aimless. Just looking back at this season, Zava was funny for a minute, but then he left immediately. So what was the point? Then they had the whole thing with Shandy, which was annoying as all get out. I hated it, but she went away. Then Jack and literally that same episode when Jack and that's when Jack and Keely hooked up. Which was stupid and aimless. And again, it's not because it's a girl. It's just because
it was
what the fuck?
Aimless. I mean, I agree. I mean,
and that lasted way too long. I think that if they were going to go for like, oh yeah, well, they hook up and then Keely's like, I don't really want anything right now or whatever. I still am not over my last relationship. Then Jack is like, well, I'm going to take your company away. That could have been fine. It would have sped up the process.
Quick. Yeah.
You wouldn't have this aimless bullshit of, oh, my, people wouldn't approve because of your masturbation video. I don't give a shit. I think that they wanted to do political commentary, so they did it, or at least so societal commentary or something like that. But I think that it still didn't really serve any purpose.
Right.
And it made Brian Keely a bad interaction.
Yeah. I mean, it's the, you know, bully pulpit thing. I'm sure that's part of what they're doing, but I'm a little tired of being preached at by, you know, TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather just watch the show for the plot of the show.
Yeah. So, and the whole like Sam having a restaurant thing is barely brought up. I'm fine with that, but at the same time, it's like they made it such a big, like, it was part of the finale in the last season. It was like, oh, we're setting up this big thing for Sam. And there was a good episode about it with his father, but then it just kind of is in the background now, and that whole like flirtation thing.
Maybe
with
they were
the
hoping
chef
for spin-off shows, like let's have a Sam spin-off. Let's have
I
a
love
Keely
you, Sam,
spin-off.
But I'm not gonna do it.
Yeah, no, I'm not. Please, I mean,
and also the whole Keely thing, like, oh yeah, your business is being taken away. Oh, Rebecca's just going to fund it now. It's like you didn't really have to suffer with it for that long. You suffered with it for 3 days. I don't think that's. I mean, yeah, it sucks.
It's not.
But again, you have when you have a rich friend who's willing to do anything for you, like whatever. Like it's just she's being saved, and it's just like, okay, well, can't she do anything on her own?
Because she's Keely fucking Jones.
Well, I think the whole idea was that she. Oh yeah, I want to do my own PR firm. I'm doing it
on my own,
and that was fine. I still didn't love this like plot of it, but like whatever, she did it, and then she got in with the really rich girl, like boss lady, and so she just got to be aimless and fly on a private jet everywhere. And I don't understand what we're supposed to think of Keely at this point.
Well, and of course, you know, she, as a character, she's probably the least nailed down. She is the least developed as far as having an individual character.
Also, I don't really love, and again, I do love that they're kind of back together, but I still think that Roy shouldn't be the only one to blame for the breakup. Him being like, oh, you did nothing wrong. I'm like, I think her not going with you on at least part of the trip to Barbados or wherever
it was Spain.
Oh yeah. Her not going for at least a part of the trip.
Yeah.
At all. Like, again, you could have gone for a week and then
or
you could
even
come
a
back.
Weekend. I
like
mean,
anything.
It's not
like
far.
And also you are setting up your like you're being CEO stuff. That's fine, but again, you have a weekend. And also
make time for your boyfriend that you kind of love.
Her being very flighty in their relationship was a problem with me for season two in general, because it's still the same problem. Roy has to apologize for everything and not Keely.
Yeah.
And I think, and her, he has to be the one to make it up to her when she was acting so childish when they were watching like Sex and the City and he was talking through it or whatever. And she was just like, you can't be near me all the time. It's like, there are better ways to handle that, but he's the one who approaches her and apologizes for all of it, but she doesn't.
Right. I mean, I agree with that because there is not a ton of balance in their relationship. And again, some part of me feels like she is the constant damsel in distress, mm-hmm. right? Even in a completely healthy relationship, she's a damsel in distress.
It's always something wrong with her.
Well, no, it's always something. Oh, poor me. He's around me too much. Oh, poor me. Yeah, it's like, come on. I mean,
they're valid concerns, but just talk to him.
Right, exactly. And if you can't get past it, then you need to do the breaking up.
Or not make some change.
Aggressive bullshit.
Or make some change. It just, it really pisses me off that she, again, is the one who never apologizes for anything. And it's understandable since they established that it was Roy who broke up with her, that he needs to be the one to come to her and be like, listen, this is not what I want. I want to be together. I love you. That's fine. That makes sense.
Yes.
But I think that, I hope they have a conversation in the next episode. Of course, they probably won't even talk. They'll just be like, oh yeah, we're honeymoon bliss.
Colin and Isaac talking, or Danny and Van Damme talking.
Okay, that was funny though. I liked that.
It was cute.
It was brief.
But, right, it was brief, and you liked it in part because it's Danny.
It was funny. Him being like, I will make you my bitch. It was really fun.
And that was workplace related. But I feel like, just the random, if there's like another lengthy Trent Crim thing, it's like,
what the fuck is up with Trent Crim?
I don't fucking care. He was interesting, not interesting, but he was fun. Okay as
the fly
side wall. Character, the fly on the wall, but making him a character?
They haven't really done that, really. They just said, oh yeah, no, he came out.
I would have liked to have seen like more of a Higgins. I love that Christmas episode.
I want more Higgins. We have not seen a lot of Higgins. He just comes in for like 2 seconds and is just like, I'm going to go off and do this on my own thing. I'm going to spill tea on myself.
Yeah.
That seems to be the thing for Higgins this season.
Yeah.
But I know that we've talked to my dad about this, but he's always said that his favorite like character is the team and like their dynamic as a team, not necessarily like individual like whatever, but just as a unit, the team is a lot of fun. And that is true, and they haven't really capitalized on that. Obviously this episode, the whole point is that they're kind of like spread out and like doing their own thing with their, again, that wasn't even really the point of the episode.
Yeah, International Break is not a good title for this episode.
No, it's what the fuck are we doing? We have to fix things.
Yeah, it's like, because closure.
Closure. Sure.
We're looking for closure.
Yeah, no, I don't know. It's upsetting because these are characters that like are fun. They have cute little interactions. Like, okay, I did love again, Phoebe comes back. Their entire relationship is fine now. Like, bada bing, bada boom, I called it. But it wasn't really because of Phoebe, but I am glad she's back slightly. But again, sister right now.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, are we going to waste a fucking episode on Jamie hooking up with Roy's sister? Because if we are,
if it's like a mini thing, that's fine, but I don't care.
If they spend more than 5 minutes of airtime on it, I'm going to be pissed. Because I don't fucking care. And she could be a hilarious actress and they can have all this Roy stuff, and you know how much I love Roy, about, oh my god, I'm gonna,
but again, if they want to do that, they should have done it earlier this season,
right? And not had Zava and Shandy and other fucking shit. I get the feeling that, and again, I Brett Goldstein, I absolutely adore, and he's a writer on the show and whatever, a lot of his films to be buried with episodes are these stand-up comedians that I've never heard of, that are stand-up comedians like in England. And some of them may be these people. Like, he knows a lot of people. He's very
connected.
He's very connected in multiple levels of this business. And these may be people he's like, oh, let's give this person a shot, whatever. And that's nice and it's kind. But it is not working to the service of the show. Yeah, I don't know if it's him. I don't know if it's Jason Sudeikis. I don't know if it's Beard, because he's also a writer. I don't know who is doing it, but it feels bloated and self-indulgent.
Yeah, and I think that if they were going to show Phoebe's mom, they should have done it earlier.
A lot.
At least, like, just as a side thing, like, that Christmas, like, she gets Roy a call or whatever. We see the phone, FaceTime or phone call or something.
Something.
And, I mean, once she showed up, I was just like, oh, okay. And then Jamie makes that offhand comment. I was just like, why couldn't we have done this earlier? Like, it kind of would make me feel a little bit more secure in the fact that Keeley wasn't interested in getting back together with him, because there was always that weird, like, I don't know, thing between them this season of her just seeing how much he's grown as a person. And obviously there was that moment at the funeral in the last season about, oh, I still love you or whatever. And yeah. I think I've grown into the man I want to be because of you. I think I'm deserving of you now.
Right.
And so there was always that like undertone of like, oh God, but
maybe they're getting back together. Shit.
But I think, and I'm glad they're not, but I think that if they wanted to put those ideas to rest, then they should have done that. Like done sooner. The whole like introducing Phoebe's mom or whatever sooner.
Yeah.
And then like have a flirtation, whatever. And then Roy gets mad and that kind of hurts their blooming friendship or whatever, because he wants to be protected. That might have
been fun to see over the course of this season, don't you think? But instead we saw this shit.
Yeah.
So anyway, I am hoping that the next two episodes, I don't even remember the name of the
Mom City. So they're going against Man City.
Yeah. Okay. And you know, obviously there's history there.
Well, maybe, I don't know. Maybe that's what they're going for, but I'm not sure.
We'll see. In any case, we hope that you join us. We hope that the show closes well, end well.
We have two more episodes.
We have two more episodes, so hang in there. And what's that last thing that we say?
You kind of ruined it by
Okay.
Join us and
cheers.